Good evening. My name is Gary Watson. I'm filling in for our pastor, Joe Griffin, this week. He'll be back Sunday. Please pray for Joe and Henry as they travel and get some time with their grandchildren. It's always an amazing honor to stand here in Joe's pulpit where he's taught so much doctrine through the years. Here's the plan for the next two nights. I'm going to give a quick update on Philippi Freedom Ministry. Joe was kind enough to give you an update a couple months ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I do have something special for you tonight and tomorrow. No, it's not new revelation or new doctrine. It's something I'm sure you probably already know, but maybe I'm going to say it in a different way. There's nothing new I can teach you that our pastor hasn't already taught you. My goal is to challenge you and hopefully encourage you with what we have to study the next couple of nights. It's going to be a lot of material. A lot of it's going to be refresher. But if you see the point, we're going to go at these points from different angles. So you're going to hear words several times throughout the study, but it's to encourage you that we need to get serious about what we're doing. So let's open with rebound confession alone to God alone if necessary, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom we have where we can still gather together and study your word. Thank you for our pastor who is so diligent to study and teach. Please keep him safe as he travels, and we pray that he will be refreshed during his time away. Bless this class tonight, and we lift these prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, God has continued to open doors for Philippi Ministries through the current crisis in our nation. We have been unable to enter the prison since the 1st of April. It started out great. You'll see that nice letter they wrote me. And I really like the part that says, I should be permitted passage without delay or hindrance. And in case of need, all lawful aid and protection. Because I'm a critical protection for the community. That lasted about 10 days. And then they said, no, you can't come in. You might get sick. But because we have a unique program where we provide DVDs, MP3s, and we have a study course, we became more and more popular as the lockdown in the prisons continued. You say, why is that? Well, most prisons have volunteers. They come in every week from the Baptist or the Methodist, Lutherans. They just come every week. When they're locked down, they don't have anything else to offer. They come in and preach, hold hands, pray, pat people on the back. And all of a sudden, when the doors were closed, the chaplains didn't have any way to get Bible study material to the inmates. So as they communicated between chaplains, between facilities, they kept saying, call Philippi Freedom Ministries. They have it. They have DVDs, MP3s, a study course, and they'll even buy the players and the headsets so they can take in Bible class. So that really gave us a leg up, and people don't think about that. But these volunteers, they're usually associated with a local church, a denomination, and they just do that as their good deed. We, on the other hand, our program's different. We go in, we teach a weekend, spiritual emphasis weekend. If there's enough positive volition, they write us, and when they write us, we take care of their needs. Not entering prisons, you would think we'd have plenty of free times, but we've been busier than ever. We recorded messages that we could send to them. Paul met me up here, and we actually recorded Bible studies that we were able to send to the prisons. Dana made DVDs and MP3s, and we got those out to the prisons. Our study course has grown to over 1,800 inmates and over 400 facilities across the United States. If you look at the ones in red, those are new facilities that just happened in the last 60 days. Idaho, Wisconsin, Massachusetts for the first time. We've got two new ones in Alabama, two in Oklahoma. We have a couple in Texas, and it's just been amazing how the door's been open for us. These are our tape groups, and you can see we have four new tape groups now set up, all started during the last 60 days with COVID. And the prisons are just now starting to open up. There's been a couple open up in the state of Missouri, but there's no firm date for them to open up across the United States. In fact, I'm betting the prisons in Texas will not open until the end of the year. They're not going to let anybody come in. So we again become critical in the fact that we have plenty of DVDs, plenty of MP3s, and we'll provide all the DVD players and MP3 players the chaplains need to keep these individuals supplied in Bible doctrine and to introduce them to the accurate study of the Word of God. All of our courses have now been revised, and we've launched the new courses, and at the same time, we started the new study order. If you remember when I first did the courses, I just did them as I had time, and they were in all kinds of crazy order. We had basic, then we'd have a advanced, then we'd have another basic book, but if I had time, I'd do giving, because I didn't have time to do the integrity of God. Now they're all redone, and every book is in order. We have the basics at the beginning, then we have Colonel Thieme's basics, and then on into the more advanced books. We have four inmates who have completed 62 books over the last 70-plus months. And as I told Joe, if he doesn't get me another book, I've got to give him a final exam, which we now have. And if you want to be challenged, take a look at this final exam. I'd put this exam up against anybody, anytime, any day. This is quite extensive. It's two parts, and it covers every book of Joe Griffin's, every book of Rick Hughes, and every book of Colonel Thieme's. And it's quite the exam. So that's what we've done. That's what we've been doing. The post office loves us because we're their largest customer. Every time I show up with bundles and bundles of mail, and they could never put it in our mailbox. They always have to have an overflow. And there was a postmaster over there who hated us, but she got transferred, and everybody else there likes us, so they really take care of us. In fact, one lady there's brother's in prison, and now he is actually studying along with us all through just picking up mail and taking and dropping off mail. Okay, so I told you about the finals exam. I do need to thank everybody who does Bible verse cards for us, the newsletter, make copies, grade tests. We've got almost 50 graders, and I always can use graders. When you're cranking out 1,800 tests a month, it's a lot of grading going on. So I really appreciate what they're doing, those that do the certificates. It's just amazing the help, and it's running like a well-oiled machine. I mean, it's just, I better be quiet, because it has just been amazing. So thank you all very much. I wanted to read a couple quick letters just to show you what's going on from the inmate's perspective, and then we'll get started. The first one here, I put them up here so you could read them, so you read along. This is Joe Polanco, and he just finished lesson number 47, which is Levitical priesthood. And he wrote, "I thank you deeply for your studies. God has used your ministry to save a wretch like me. I have gained so much insight, and the love for my Father and Lord has increased 100-fold. I understand my role, my purpose in this chaotic world. I must submit all to my Father and trust in his unfailing love, regardless of my circumstances. May God always and forever bless your efforts." So that's Joe. The next one, this individual actually started us in Hawaii. How our information got to Hawaii, I have no idea. But Vernon Baker actually wrote us and said, "How do I get this material?" And he talked to the chaplain, set us up. We have two tape groups over there, and it's been really a good relationship. But he wrote, "Keep the doctrine coming. I can't even begin to express the changes and blessings God's grace has given me through these studies and application. Gratitude is spread through my heart through prosperity and adversity. Keep us in your prayers, as I know you will." And he's a big Miami Dolphins fan and Alabama fan, so he's really excited that they drafted Tua, as you can see from his note there. And the last one I'm going to read to you is from an individual who's going to be getting out soon, and he's studied with us 8 years now, and he's getting ready to get out this July. He said, "This is to let you know that what you do is important and greatly appreciated. Maybe there are times when you wonder if all that mailing and record keeping and test grading is worth it. I assure you that what you do is valuable and is serving God in a wonderful way. I've been incarcerated for over 8 years, and your ministry has provided me with the greatest learning experience of my downtime." That's what they refer to when they're in prison, their downtime. "You've taught me so much that I never got from church or Sunday school or self-study at our chapel here. It cannot be found in the commentary in my study Bible. Joe got him a study Bible from the church, as he's now in book number 56 or 57. Your ministry has filled in the gaps. I have that elusive thing which you refer to constantly, Bible doctrine in my soul. And we're going to discuss a little bit about that this evening. I could use it as a measuring stick against ideas I read or hear elsewhere. I have a shield against false doctrine and a sword that is stronger than ever. An understanding of God's word that I can apply to any, oh, it's right there, okay, any life situation, and that's priceless. I have shared this program with friends here, gotten them on the same road, and I'll take what I've learned home to share with my wife very soon. My release date is July 19th. Please let me know how I can continue to study with you at home. So I thought you might find those encouraging before we got started tonight. To me, that sums up what we do right there. We continue to have a low recidivism rate because people who are serious about studying the Word of God, it conquers them just like it does you. And the Word of God does conquer all. There is a young man I would like for you to pray for. He's on our church prayer list. Paul, you might remember, he wrote a note back in February trying to get in touch with Joe to say thank you for the Bible studies and how much he grew while I was in prison. He just sent me a text a week or two ago and said, I've been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and I have 3 to 6 months to live and there's nothing they can do for me. The last part of his text was, I'm good with it. And he's listening tonight. So please continue to pray for Denver as he battles this disease and looks like going home to be with the Lord sometime soon. So that's a quick update on where we're at. If you have any questions or anything, I'm going to leave our contact information up at the end. If you drop me a note, I'll try to answer it before we get started tomorrow night. If it's too long, I'll write you a note. But I never hesitate to drop me a note. Send me a text. Say you're an idiot. Prisoners do that all the time. Or you can write if you got a question. I'll be glad to answer it. If you want to help, drop us a note. We'll take all the help we can get. Okay, now let's get started. As I said earlier, I hope to challenge you and encourage you over the next two nights to say something in a different way or help you recall something you already know that will help you focus or maybe refocus your priorities when it comes to your spiritual life. The introduction will set up what we're going to study, so you're going to have to bear with me. I hope you have a pen and paper with you. With the B team, you don't get the notes ahead of time. But we did do something. Thanks to Dana, we got you some verses and principles, and there will be a lot of principles. And when we're done tonight and tomorrow night, we will get the notes posted if you happen to want those. Okay, fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Over the last few months, I have spoken with a lot of friends, acquaintances, chaplains, family members, and many others, as I know each of you have. And they've all said, I've got a renewed interest in Bible study. Can I get some books from you? I want to study how you study. You know, where do you go to church? I even had family members who I hadn't talked to in years call and say, are you still going to that church? Got anything you could send me? Well, I did. All of you guys have told me the same thing and been excited about those who are interested in a serious study of the Word of God. There has been panic in some of these people, concerns in others, and then there are those who are looking to draw on your spiritual stability and knowledge in the crisis we've just been going through. And they've been asking you for material for their Bible studies. There was one thing everyone talked about, and that was getting closer to God and going to church more. It was all over social media. If you're on social media, people would say on Facebook, I bet you won't post this, I love Jesus. Or, will you say this prayer with me? Many internet preachers sprang up. People said they started praying more. And when our country allowed it, they were going to be more faithful at church. Well, there was chaos in the street. And guess what happened? Everything settled down. People started getting their lives back on track. Things got back to normal, and I once again see the interest in Bible doctrine wane and once again put on the back burner. Many Christians who came out of the woodwork during our country's latest crisis will keep a toe in the doctrinal bucket, but they really just wanted to kick the tires. They really didn't have any interest. They kicked the tires until they got a better deal, and the better deal came. They got some time off from work, but they got very generous unemployment. Then they got a stimulus check. And then they got called back to work, and with that came a lot of overtime. People got busy again. And guess what? That's all they ever wanted. They got back what they wanted. I'm going to tell you, our country needs you, and you can't ride the fence. We, as believers, have to be all in. But you ask, how can I? My children are involved in football and basketball and hockey and dance and cheerleading. I have to work a lot of overtime. My wife demands a lot. My husband demands a lot. I just don't have the time to study Bible doctrine every day. Well, I'm not here to tell you not to do these things, so don't call Joe and tell him, Gary said, don't let my kids play baseball. Gary said, I can't work overtime. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, if you want to be a front ranker, as Joe's been talking to us about and be right up here, it takes more than an hour a day. 3 hours. It takes at least an hour a day. You can't get away with an hour or two a week. It doesn't work. You have to get serious about Bible study. You must be dedicated to the mission, and it requires routine, perseverance, and persistence. We all fall back on, I don't have time to study every day, excuse. But we all know we have time what we make time for. I bet if you wanted to go visit the grandchildren, you'd make time for that if you wanted to do it, even if you worked overtime. I bet if you had a date night, you'd make time to go do that. Maybe we ought to get off the phone. Maybe we ought to get off social media. Did you ever look at how much time you spend in these areas? We live in a season of crisis. Can you, will you be that individual who advances to spiritual maturity and saves this nation? Will you be part of the problem or part of the solution? My question is, what will you do? Will you continue to train and take what we do seriously every day, or will you fall back? Will you allow distractions to keep you from training, to keep you from growing spiritually? Do you know that the protocol plan of God is the process by which we grow to be winners in time? Without routine and perseverance, believers drift in time, failing to redeem the time. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And just look around us if you don't think the days are evil. All you got to do is read the newspaper or turn on the news. Unfortunately, not all Christians have a desire to study God's word. I cannot explain what happens, but I know that life offers many distractions and our time is stolen in many ways. Others simply have no interest in learning anything. I've heard people say to me, "Do you take notes at church? You got to be kidding me. There's notes?" Hey, I'm out of school. I'm not interested in taking notes. People have said, "You go to church 4 hours a week? Are you crazy? What are you thinking?" Well, how many of us really get 4 hours a week? Since Joe's been cut down to three, do we get three? I'm looking around, I'm not sure we get three. A lot of people don't always make it, and there's reasons for that, I understand. But these people are saved. They're going to heaven. But that's all they want out of the deal. They don't care about anything else. They don't want to be serious students of the Word of God. That takes discipline. That takes commitment. Organized religion offers much ritual to satisfy these types of people. They have a few songs, a 20-minute sermon, and they are fine until next Sunday. But let something happen during the week, some crisis come Monday or Tuesday, run into a jerk at work, maybe you lose your job, you have a car accident, whatever it is, and they're a basket case until they can get there next Sunday. I'm going to tell you, this is not a normal Christian life. It's simple ritual without reality. If you allow yourself to be satisfied with the ritual of organized religion, you will miss the blessings and benefits that come from becoming a mature believer. Imagine if you stayed a 10-year-old all your life. Don't you remember how excited you were to be 21, to be legal? You could not wait. Well, just imagine what awaits you as a mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that Satan will oppose with all his forces. He doesn't want you to grow up spiritually, because as long as you stay an immature believer, he can neutralize you in the impact you may have had. Just look at Ephesians 6:11 through 19, and we're not going to go through the whole verse, all the verses. Put on the full armor of God so you could protect yourself from the schemes of the evil one. That's Paul's military metaphor right there, that group of passages. I'm going to tell you something. I believe there's a spiritual drought in America today. The churches I know of that are laser focused on teaching truth are small in numbers and small in size. There's not many out there because no one's teaching aletheia, truth. Our pastor did. How do you remove the spiritual drought in America? It starts in the pulpits of the churches all over this country. And that's before it gets to us. It starts there. Deuteronomy 32:2. Let my teaching fall on you like rain. Let my speech settle like dew. Here's some principles for you. Without the rain of God's word, nothing grows. How can you grow spiritually if you're not at Bible class getting accurate teaching so that you can refresh your soul? You can't. Two, a Christian who does not know God's word is a dehydrated soul. There's nothing to pull out of there to use. Nothing that you can use. Three, unless a pastor waters his flock, nothing grows. Period. If you stand up there and preach at somebody for 20 minutes, you're not giving them anything they can use the next day. Four, America's in a spiritual drought. Nothing of life-sustaining source is being taught. If you look at Jude 12, we see false teachers there. It says, clouds without water carried along by the wind. Well, let's look at principles there. Human viewpoint does not water the soul. Why? Because human viewpoint is what the world tells you. It's what Fred said you ought to do. It's not what the Word of God tells you to do. Two, only divine viewpoint waters the soul. And that happens in Bible class. That happens studying the Word, getting online, taking some of those thousands of hours that Pastor Griffin has on there and streaming them. Three, a waterless Christian is like a parched plant in an arid climate. We should be thirsty for the water of the Word because without it, we can't grow. Four, and I hope you remember this. When Joe teaches, you need to bring your umbrellas because it's going to rain in this auditorium. Here's some other verses for you. Isaiah 43:20. I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people. Ephesians 5:26. The washing of the water with the word. So you're probably asking, what's my part in all this? You're preaching to the choir. I'm here tonight. I'm glad. I listen in my car almost every day on the way to work. In fact, I listen both ways. If that's all you can do, that's great. But let me tell you about a test I did recently. There was a couple people that had been telling me over and over, oh, I listen 30 minutes every day. On the way there, 30 minutes home. I said, that's great. That's fantastic. I said, what are you getting? Well, I never thought about that. I said, here's a little test for you. I said, when you get to work each day for the next 2 days, write down what biblical principles you remember. And then when you get home tonight, write down what biblical principles you remember. And I'll give you a call in a couple days. I called them both back, and here's what they both said. You know, I never really thought about it. I didn't have anything to write down. But you know what they could remember? The phone calls they got, the people who cut them off, the people who gave them the finger, the traffic jams they were in, but they could not remember a biblical principle that they were taught during that 30-minute drive. If that's all you can do, that's great. But maybe you could get up 30 minutes earlier and just listen at home. Just a thought. People say, what more do you want? I get 2 hours a week. I come every Sunday. Pastor Griffin teaches me 2 hours, and man, that carries me. Have you ever been to his class for 2 hours? Ooh, that's a lot to absorb. Why do we need to be serious students of the Word of God? Why does Pastor Griffin study and then bring us to teach us? I'm going to tell you. It's the love for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the only reason. I don't care how much Bible doctrine you have in your soul. If you lose sight of your personal love motivation for our Lord, you're in big trouble. That's why occupation with Christ is such a tremendous problem-solving device. Problem-solving device number 10. Listen, our personal love for our Savior is problem-solving device number 7. And that's our motivational virtue. And then that leads to our problem-solving device number 8, impersonal love for our mankind. And that's our functional virtue. You have to get these down. Let me ask you a question. Do you know you can't be great in a spiritual life without a routine? I asked one of our nation's greatest silent warriors about routine, and he said having a good routine is everything in what he does. Everything. If you ask any athlete, what do you need to be great? It takes practice. It takes repetition. It takes a good routine. You have a routine to follow every day, and you train, and that requires routine. You've probably heard you fight how you train. Do you think these special warriors just get up one day and go on a mission without training? Don't you think they train with all their gear? What if they ran around in shorts all day and then they said, well, you got to climb 3,000 feet straight up and we got to accomplish a mission? I would be willing to bet you about halfway up, they're going to be huffing and puffing, taking off their gear and saying, hey, let's call this off. Man, I can't do this. No, you got to train. I always remind my grandson when I get the opportunity to take him to hockey practice. Teddy, remember, you practice how you're going to play in the game. I promise you, if you don't focus in practice, you will not be able to apply what you were told in the game. You know what it is? Repetition, repetition, repetition. And where have we heard that before? It's so important, and it never stops. What's our routine? It's a constant intake of Bible doctrine. Why? Well, with consistent intake of Bible doctrine, you begin to think with divine viewpoint. It moves your focus off of everything else to straight ahead, the mind of Christ. Again, I know what you're thinking. Now he's telling me I can't think about anything else. I just got to think about Bible study and stay in focus. There's nothing else I can think about. It's not what I'm saying. You don't just think about spiritual things, but what's in your soul is always directed toward that action, even though you're involved in many other things. It's always focused on the prize, straight ahead. You don't lose the edge. Again, I was talking to one of our best silent warriors in the military, and he told me about shooting and going to the range, and that if he's off a little bit when he's going consistently to the range, he has the ability to automatically correct things without even thinking. If he goes 2 weeks without going to the range, he starts to lose the ability to automatically make corrections. Well, what about us when we don't get our souls refreshed at Bible class because we're too busy? We begin to fall back, and all of a sudden, you can't recall things like problem-solving devices. All of a sudden, you don't remember the royal law. That's one of the first things to go. And we lose the ability to automatically correct. And then what happens? Divine discipline. You don't lose the thought processes that go on in a spiritually mature believer when you are taking in that word every day, refreshing your soul, watering Bible doctrine in your soul. Thus, you are able to perform and fulfill the mission of the plan of God for your life, and that is your obligation. When great athletes stop training, they lose the edge. They get out of shape. Look at me. I was a super athlete. Now look at this. You know, now I'm just a great eater. When our great special operators, the quiet professionals who protect this nation, stop training, they lose the edge. And in their case, they put themselves and their teammates in danger. For the Christian warrior, if we do not continue to train, we put ourselves in the bench. We're over here. We're right over here on this little bench. And that's where we're sitting, right over there. And you got the water bottles giving these guys water. Because God can't use you. Why? There's nothing in your soul. You're a believer. You're going to heaven. But obviously you don't want anything out of the deal but that. In order to be a Christian warrior, we must train and we must have a routine. Our pastor has a great routine. He gets up, heads for the hole, and studies and studies and studies. I can tell you this, the one thing about Grace Doctrine Church is the accurate teaching of the Word of God has never changed. Our pastor is always here, always teaching. We, above all the churches around, have no excuse. What's your training regimen? Are you training to be a front ranker, a promocoy, right up here? Are you just happy sitting on the bench? You say, why do I need all this Bible study? Well, Jesus Christ is our hero, and he is our role model. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against him, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. 2, Jesus Christ is our motivation to persevere. You never want to lose heart or grow weary. He's our inspiration to be faithful, and he's our source of dedication to the truth. Here's a principle for you. Our Lord Jesus Christ never quit one time in 33 years. Will you quit? If you don't utilize the assets God has given you, and if you don't keep your eyes on Christ, you will. That's why the scripture says, don't get weary, don't give up, don't lose heart, and don't lose faith. 3, knowing Jesus Christ, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is the greatest thing you'll ever accomplish in your life. I don't care how successful you are at anything else. That is the greatest thing you will ever accomplish in your life. 4, everything you are, you owe to him. And everything you will be is because of him. 5, I don't care who you are and what you have, without Jesus Christ, it's empty and meaningless. 6, if you are ever going to represent Jesus Christ, you must know him. How can you represent him to a dead and dying world if you don't even know him? How do you reflect Jesus Christ in your life? That's the question. 7, when you grow to spiritual maturity, you think differently and also acquire a different vocabulary and a frame of reference. It's divine viewpoint. 8, this may tick people off, but there is no excuse for spiritual ignorance. It's right here at our fingertips. We have the mind of Christ. We have all these hours. We have a wonderful church with a wonderful pastor. There's no excuse. 9, learning and understanding the mystery doctrines of the church age is part of growing spiritually. dispensational orientation. You got to have it. Listen, growing spiritually, here we are down here, but here's where we want to go. Spiritual maturity, we're babies. But we go here and we quit. Some people get all the way up here and quit. We are not here because of a desire for ritual without reality. We're here because we love our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we want to be intimately acquainted with Him. If you want to grow spiritually, it takes more than a couple hours a week. If you went to school for only 4 hours a week, you'd still be in elementary school. It's not show up on Sunday and then you're good for the next week. It's not reading a 10-minute devotion once a day and then all of a sudden, poof, I'm a mature believer. No, it's a process. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Doesn't happen overnight. It's a marathon. You got to be in this for the long haul. If you're just kicking the tires, you won't last long. We know our destiny, problem-solving device number 6, our personal sense of destiny. We are eternal winners because of faith alone in Christ alone. We now must focus on the advancing spiritually to be winners in time. Our approach is one day at a time, and it starts with routine. Here's a principle. Logistical grace provisions provide each day for you to learn and execute God's protocol plan. You're given time for that. Psalm 34, 11 through 14. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you respect for the Lord. Who is the person who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? What is the good? That's the plan of God. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, do good, and pursue it. Pursue what? The plan of God. Here's another principle for you. Length of days equals playing time, game time. This I hope you take to heart. No one wants to sit on the bench and watch others do the job you were designed for. That's got to be sad, sitting on the bench and saying, wow, God designed me for me to do that, and I can't even get in the game. I've never picked up the playbook. I don't even know what's in the playbook. It's right here. It's available for everybody. The basics here are incredible. It starts with the book, Who Loves You, in our study course. That's packed full of doctrine. Then you go to God Exists, Safe to Die, Know What God Thinks. Does He Hear My Prayers? And then somewhere along the line, you get to One Day at a Time and get 300 questions. And then you get the final exam that it just kicks you right in the teeth and says, boy, I really was dumber than I thought I was. It's a process. You got to do it every day. The day-by-day life of the believer only has meaning when related to Bible doctrine. Proverbs 3, 13 through 17. How happy is the person who finds doctrine. I think that's in here right there. How happy is the person who finds doctrine and the person who gains understanding. For her profit, Bible doctrine again, see it right there, is better than the profit of silver and her gain better than fine gold. She, Bible doctrine right here, is more precious than precious stones, and nothing you desire compares with her. Length of days is in her right hand, doctrine's right hand, right here you go again. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are prosperity. Principle, the protocol plan of God is the process by which we grow to be winners in time, and that is one day at a time. You can't get around it. If you're not willing to do it one day at a time, you're never going to get there. Remember I said over here, you want to get up here? If you're not willing to take this journey one day at a time, it gets overwhelming. You're never going to get there. because you have to be ready to say, oh my gosh, I got to use the faith rest drill. And you got to get that down. Claim a promise. Doctrinal rationale. You got to know those. And that starts down here, being a baby. Psalm 25:25. Guide me with your doctrine and train me, because you are the God of my deliverance. What is training? It's routine, persistence, and repetition. Jeremiah 9:23-24. See if I can find it. And we may have missed that one, but that's okay. Here it is. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, say the Lord. There are people all over America tonight who knows God through his Son, Jesus Christ, but they do not understand the God they know. Why? No spiritual growth. No interest. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're going to heaven. But they don't understand or know God because they've never taken the time to grow spiritually. You know, you ask all the time, you love me? Oh, yes, I do. Well, 1 John 5:3 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and they're not burdensome. Do you even know what those commandments are? If you don't study the Word of God, how are you going to know what you're supposed to do? How do you apply doctrine if you don't have any? You just drift around being tossed about by waves here and there and everywhere. Ezekiel 33:31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they don't not do them. For with their own mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. So what is the mandate for us in Scripture? Christians are instructed to grow up spiritually. And I know this is basic, and you probably all can regurgitate these next three verses. But do you really understand them, and do you really know them? Remember 1 John 5:3? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Well, here we go. The first one is to study. We're commanded to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the verb study is spunazo. And it's an imperative move in the Greek New Testament. And it's also the active voice. So guess what that means? You're the person who does the action. No one does it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Pastor Griffin can't do it for you. You have to study. And we're going to see a commonality as we go down here. Learn. Matthew 11:29-30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn, guess what? It's another imperative mood. Manthano is the Greek word, and it's also in the active voice. And listen, you come here, you've all seen this many times, and you get the information, it's down here for you to consider. It's gnosis. It's in your noose. You say, well, you know, I can't learn all this stuff, you know. I just don't have time for any of that. And it never goes any further. But you say, you know what? I like that. I think that's true. I concur with that. Efficacious grace takes it over here. And you say, you know what? I have that available to apply now. Now it's epinosis. And guess what? That becomes wheel tracks that our pastor taught many years ago. Trachea, wheel tracks, it becomes something deep, ingrained in you, so that it becomes second nature. So we have to study and we have to learn. Those are commands. Bible says if you love me, you keep my commandments. So there's two right there. Well, there's one more. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And grow is in the Greek is oxano, and it is also an imperative mood. And you know what else? It's in the active voice. It's for you to do. And a reminder, the imperative mood in Scripture expresses a command to the hearer to perform a certain action by order and authority of the one commanding. Who is the one commanding? Who's our commanding officer? Jesus Christ, the Lord of the armies. Right there it is. So this isn't Gary telling you need to do this, okay? It's got nothing to do with me. It's what the Word of God says, the mind of Christ. And by the way, you can't say I don't know anything about imperative moods. If you've been listening to James at all, the pastor has been pointing those out. And I'll give you a little bit of sneak preview. I don't know what number we're exactly on in imperative moves through the first three chapters, but I'll tell you this. When he's all done, there's going to be about 58. I'm shooting from the hip, but they're going to be pretty close. 55, 56, somewhere near, maybe 58. Imperative moods in one book. Guess what? They're all there for us to follow. But you got to learn them first because you can't follow what you don't know. To follow Jesus Christ as a believer, you must advance spiritually step by step, one step after another. Remember, I keep saying, you can't get here without going here. And you can't get there without going there. There's no shortcut. Principle, as you advance spiritually, your historical and invisible impact slows down our nation's descent into destruction. Everybody concerned about what's going on? Get to Bible class, because that slows it down right there. As you grow spiritually, you can slow it down. Believers must learn how to think with divine viewpoint, the Word of God. The only place divine viewpoint is learned is studying, learning, and inculcating Bible doctrine. Following Christ begins and ends with persistence in the intake of Bible doctrine. No shortcuts. And there are no mandates in Scripture we don't have to follow. That may shock you. Can't pick and choose. You can say, well, I'm going to grow, but I'm not going to study and learn. It doesn't work like that. You can say, well, I don't care about that royal law. I can't do that. Well, no, you got to do that too. If you love me, you keep my commandments, you got to do that too. Nothing, you can't pick and choose. All the mandates are there for all of us. Believers must learn to utilize the faith rest drill so that you might remain relaxed under pressure and also to apply the necessary counter to mental attitude sins. One step in front of the other, and you just continue to grow. We need to learn to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by applying Bible doctrine in whatever capacity his plan calls for. Not our plan, what his plan calls for. There is preparation, perseverance, and routine to be a follower of Christ. Principle, following Jesus Christ is not an intermittent emotional high minus spiritual preparation and training. Your routine must be daily. I hear all the time from people, how'd you start your ministry? Oh, I'm going to start one. Oh, I'm going to get more involved in my church. I want to do what you're doing. Okay. Here's the problem. No one wants to get prepared. They want to do more. But let's go all the way back up here. I can find it. I want to find over here on the bench. They can't get off the bench because they're not willing to get prepared. You want to do more? Got to get prepared. And oh, by the way, this life isn't flashy. And that's why I think people don't want to get prepared. I'm joking about that. There's a lot of reasons. But let me tell you, this is not some glamorous lifestyle. All great athletes have a great routine. If you want to be a great field goal kicker, you kick thousands of field goals. You want to be a great infielder, you field thousands of ground balls. Golfers hit thousands of tee shots, hundreds of putts. Look at Paul's athletic metaphor in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. There I run, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul was encouraging the believers in Corinth to take their spiritual life seriously, just as an athlete who competes takes their training seriously. We see also in 2 Timothy 2:5, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. I said before, in the military, you fight how you train, and great warriors always practice how they're going to fight. Well, in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Taking in the word of God is more profitable than exercising every day. I'm not saying don't exercise every day. I'm saying taking in Bible doctrine is better for you than that. People in athletics and the military, they train and drill and train and drill again. 40 plus years later, after being the captain's phone talker for several years, I can still recall in my mind, set condition 1SQ for WSRT, this is the captain, this is an exercise. Or set the fire control tracking party and what that entails. It's never left. It's those wheel tracks we were talking about. Boy, isn't it great to be able to recall a promise? Cast all your burdens upon him because he cares for you. Our God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his predetermined purpose. You don't always have a book with you, but what happens when you need to exercise the faith works drill? The first thing you got to do is claim a promise. We got a great book here with promises in them. How many have you committed to memory? It's muscle memory, it's wheel tracks, it's trachea. The same is true in the study of the Word of God. We must put on the full armor of God. You can only represent and represent Jesus Christ with the doctrine you have in your soul, and that comes from a good daily training program, and it starts with routine. Principle: greatness is not in the moment. Greatness is day after day of routine and moving ahead in the plan of God. That's greatness, but it's not glamorous. Here's a few points before we wrap it up and quit for tonight. I'll go through these quickly. One, when spiritual life comes first, the believer gets the right perspective on all aspects of their temporal life. We are able to set boundaries on our temporal life. You still have friends, you still have family, you still have kids' events, but you set boundaries so your spiritual life and your spiritual growth don't suffer. Two, then when the boundaries are set and the perspective is right, the believer is able to give priority to the spiritual life. Everything else second place, family, etc. You put it all in perspective. Three, a believer who is advancing is able to set routines in life for the purpose of growing spiritually and advancing. Principle: the spiritual life must come first, then everything else falls in place. You must put your spiritual growth first. Four, Routine and preparation need to be daily. You can't be great or anything else without the routine necessary to get there. One of the warriors I was talking to told me, and I saw a video, 31 shots in a 4-inch target in under 10 seconds. That's greatness. Want to have a great spiritual life? Starts with routine, repetition, and practice. That individual's great, but in my mind, he's great in a lot of other ways because he's positive to the study of the Word of God. He's a great husband, a great father, invisible hero. You need to make sure you don't neglect the study of the Word of God. 5, routine and repetition are the nuts and bolts of life, and that includes your Christian life. 6, the routine of doctrinal inculcation is the spiritual training that a believer needs for serving and glorifying God in every aspect of his life. 7, that routine and repetition is what engenders a sustained greatness in life. 8, you can't have a great prayer life without a great routine. You say, oh, no, yes, I can. Wait a minute. The most overused word in America is, I'll pray for you. You're not going to pray for him. Somebody comes up and says, will you pray for me? Oh, yeah, I'm going to. Next time you see him, you go, oh, shoot, I forgot to pray for him. How's your mom? Because you don't remember it. You're busy. Do you ever think if you had a good routine, maybe you just say, hey, could I pray? Why don't we just go over here and I'll pray right now? What's wrong with that? Or you're on the phone. Hey, Mary, let's pray right now. I'll pray with you right now. Write it on your hand. That way when you get home, you go, I got to pray for Mary. Pray for him right then. Make a note, stick it in your pocket. It's a routine, how you handle those prayer requests. Otherwise, you're not going to remember. Have 2 prayer lists. The hot list that you pray for every day because there's critical needs. And the one that you rotate through. That's a routine. Want to have a good prayer life? You got to have a good routine. Otherwise, nothing but lip service. 9, a Christian must establish some spiritual growth if they ever hope to advance in the plan of God. And that's why we have a Bible. That's our textbook. 10, there is no other acceptable outcome for any believer but to learn grace orientation. Grace orientation is the development of one's understanding of God's grace policy. Grace, grace, grace. The fact that we have a place to meet tonight is because of his grace. Jesus Christ keeps you alive every day, and you are alive complements of his grace. We are saved by grace. There's living grace, logistics, surpassing grace, dying grace. We need to grow in grace. We live by means of grace. Is that enough? It's grace, it's grace, it's grace. A couple more points. 11, if you want to be great in the spiritual life, it requires perseverance and practice. And you're in practice right now. And every time you study the Word of God, do you practice every day? Do you want to be great in a spiritual life? Then you need to practice. And remember this, the routine of the spiritual life is necessary to be great in the Christian life. In everybody else's eyes? Nah. But in God's eyes, and isn't that all that matters? Isn't that the priority? 12, the more you study and the more you grow, the more you will understand what makes you do certain things. You'll find your understanding being broadened and your intellect being challenged. And finally, 14, Christians must have nourishment if they intend to grow up spiritually. It's akin to growing up physically. Both require nourishment to grow. Tomorrow night, we'll do a quick review. And then I'm going to give you some thoughts on a good routine that may help you. And then we got a doctrine that is developed here that I think will help you take a look at yourself and end on an encouragement note. So that's what we're going to do. I've hit it from a lot of angles. Thank you for listening and staying with me. I hope it made sense and that you guys were able to get something out of it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to fellowship in your word. We know, Father, we need to grow spiritually based on the commands listed in your word. May we get serious or stay the course that we might grow to maturity and become front rankers that you can use in this angelic conflict. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.